Well, let's turn to Song of Solomon. Why do I preach on Song of Solomon? My reason and my purpose and my heart is so that you will love Christ the way He wants you to love Him, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So, we look at last week, the previous week, or chapter 5, when Solomon the king was knocking at the door. And while he was knocking, he spoke to her, "Open the door. Open the door. Open the door of your heart to me." But she did not respond immediately. She thought about it. She took her time. But by the time she decided to respond, he was gone. He was gone. Have you ever been to that place when God speaks to your heart and you don't want to obey Him? You struggle and you fight against it. And by the time you want to do it, you find, hey, something is amiss. And he was gone. So she became lovesick, hopelessly lovesick. The result was, I should go and look for him. She went to find him. While she was looking for him, others asked her, "Why do you love Solomon, the king, more than others?" My question to you this morning is, why do you love Jesus more than others? I know most of us are very captivated and very caught up with God loves me. And we can talk about how God loves us, you know. But my question to you is that, have you ever asked yourself, why do you love Him? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why do you love Jesus? So the question asked to her was, why do you love King Solomon? And her answer should be just like our answer, the same answer, because of who Christ is, His personhood and the glory of Christ. What a powerful answer. The answer that says, I love Him because of His awesome, wonderful act of love, because of who Jesus is, His personhood. But yet, many of us may be able to confess that, but yet many of us struggle within. The struggle that we have within. Truly Jesus said, the spirit is what? Willing. But the flesh is weak. How do we overcome that? We must be like Jesus, willing to die daily to self so that we can respond like Christ. How He respond? Father, Your will be done, not mine. Your will be done. So today, on Solomon 6, we call this chapter 6, we entitle it Transforming Love. Transforming Love. Love begins, like many of us would call it, puppy love. Infatuation. Have you ever been in that place? And such puppy love or infatuation usually happened with teenagers. Teenagers, you know. And that feeling, that intense love, that passion, you know, that desire, the excitement of being in love. They call it puppy love. But puppy love, not many of them become long-term love. Most of them fall by the wayside. Why is that so? Well, when you're a teenager, you fall in love, that is your worldview. But when you go to the university, your worldview is what? Change. When you go to the workplace, your worldview what? Change. That's why a lot of puppy love never go far. But some of them do survive. Some of them do survive and they get married. Like Pastor Kara and Henry, they were from high school love. You know, they got married and they got children. I mean, some do survive, but many doesn't. So, you cannot stay at puppy love with God. It must grow. Even though love does has its up and down, the cloud nine. How many of you like the cloud nine? Feeling like in the heaven. But there are also moments where you feel lovesick. Yet the power of love has transforming power. Love has transforming power. Love is never selfish. It's never about you. Never stagnant or static, but it gives, it adjusts, it grows, and it transforms. I have a cousin, two of them, they were twins. They stay in a very notorious place. At the time in the place, they were all gangsters. And if you were living as a teenager in Singapore, in certain area, this street is one gang. Few streets away is another gang. They are all different, you know, and they fight. And he stays right inside. So as a teenager, when I want to go and visit him, if I'm going to go to his house, I have to walk the street. And when you walk the street, children, I'm talking about children, will come and ask you, which gang are you? Children, just small kid. And all I have to do is just mention my cousin's name. Because they are notorious, so everybody knows them. You know, so they'll just leave me alone. And I remember the aunties used to tell the mother, don't worry, don't worry. When he finds a woman and he gets married and he has family and he has children, he will what? He will change. It's true. He changed. Maybe it's age. Maybe it's wisdom. Maybe it's just love that transformed him. If natural love between a man and woman can change a person, how much more is God's love for you? Have you ever thought of that? Or your love for him? Song of Solomon is a song of love. It started with initial love. Love just started. But initial love comes to a place where it falter. Have you ever come, I love God so much, and then you come to a place where you struggle in loving God? It came to faltering love. Then he moved on to growing love. I want him. I am struggling, yet I want him. So love begins to grow. But now, we come to transforming love. Transforming love. Has the love of Christ transformed you? Has your love for Christ transformed you? Because his love for you is not about you. It's about who? It's about him. You love him, and you must love him for who he is. Not because God serves you. Not because he's here just for you. You know, you remember the prayer of Jabez. The prayer of Jabez was very popular in the last 10 years ago, where everybody would make the prayer, God bless me, extend my boundary. But they forgot that Jabez prayer was not just God bless me, but also God transform me. You see? But his love for me must capture my heart, stir my emotion, energize my all to love him and to be transformed by him and for him. Now you see from chapter 6, the king love had transformed her. She turned her eyes from seeing herself to seeing him. And now when she saw him, she became just like him. What he loves, she loves. What he rejects, she rejects. She becomes the mirror and the reflector of him. This is the power of transforming love. Her transformation was not secret. It was not hidden. It was not invisible. Others, that the daughter of Jerusalem say and saw the attractiveness, her transformation. They saw the spiritual beauty that is in her. And they asked her in verse 1, where has your beloved gone, O fairest, O most beautiful among women? Where has your beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with you? Yes, I want you to know that when Jesus starts to transform you and you allow God to transform you, there is such a beauty in you that people will notice it. People will notice the beauty that is in you, the change that is in you. It's the change that is in you that makes Christianity different from all the religion of this world. The religion of this world is you can be what you are. But Christianity is this. Believe in me, you are a new creation. You are a new person. I will change you from the distorted image of sin to the image of my Son, Jesus Christ. So they saw the transformation in her. And they said that because we saw this transformation in you, we want to go with you. We want to follow you. We want to seek the same person that you seek so that we can be like you. You see, there's one thing about your face. Come on, Christian. There's one thing about your face. Your face shine forth for Jesus Christ. Your face present the countenance, the beauty, the authority, the approval of God. And when people see your face, they see what is in you. There is. Even though they may not like you, even though they may disagree with you, but they notice there's something about you that you have that they do not have. And one day they will want to have and come to you and say, what you have, I also want to have. So they saw this beauty and they said, let us find him together. Christ's beauty is attractive. Say amen there. It attracts the seeker of God. It attracts the brokenhearted, the bruised and the downtrodden. This world that we are living in, in Genesis, God said, it is good, it is beautiful. But this world that we are living in has become uglier by the day. The ugliness of distorted culture. You know, culture values is really distorted. The ugliness of individualism, the ugliness of injustice. This ugly world desperately need to see the beauty of Christ. The beauty of Christ in you. You are attractive. Say that. You are attractive. Say amen. Next picture. You are attractive. My question to you. If you are attractive, what beauty are you shining? The external beauty. The external perishing beauty. Or the beautiness of Christ. In a world of darkness, where there is so much ugliness, may you be the beauty for the world to see. Love transforms. The key to transforming love is this word called obedience. Transformation is not all of God doing. I stand here and say, God, transform me. Like coming forward and the pastor lay hand on you and all of a sudden you change. I have a bad temper. I lay hand on you. You go out. I'm now cool, man. It's not all of God. It's not all of the Holy Spirit. It takes you to cooperate. It is intentional, it is purposeful, it is partnership. Here is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to verse 13. Dear friend, you always follow my instruction when I was with you. And now I am away and it's even more important. Work hard, work out to show the result of your salvation. Obeying God with a deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what He pleases you. So the Bible tells that when if love is to transform us, it's not just God, it's just or the Holy Spirit. It takes you. It takes you to work out. Continuously work out. The Greek word for work out means to continuously work, to bring something in you to completion. And that is only through active pursuing of obedience. Because it's your obedience that brings your sanctification, that makes you grow to be like Jesus Christ. Wonder Paul said this word, I strive and I press forward for my transformation. I want the love of God to transform me. Would you not want to? I want God's love to transform me. So I'm pressing in. I'm pressing forward. I'm pressing on to His transforming love. And I want Christ to transform me. She was transformed by the King love. She was transformed from inside out. Transformation is always from inside out, never outside in. And when you look at these chapters 6, there are 4 evidence of transforming love that is found in her, that must be found in you if you say, I am transformed by His love. The first evidence is connection. Connection. Look at verse 2 and verse 3. My beloved has gone to his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed his flock in the garden and to gather lilies. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. He feed his flock among the lily. The first thing about transforming love, it connects you to him. Say this with me. Say it. I am connected to him. Transforming love takes place. The first evidence is that you are connected to him. Because your life, your purpose, who you are, and what you have comes and flows from him. Without him, you are nothing. You are not a self-made man or a self-made woman. You are a child of the living Savior and the living Lord. He is the one that makes you what you are. Without him, you are spiritually bankrupt and lost. John chapter 15 verse 5 say, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Transforming love. I'm connected to him. But this connection has a reverse order. In chapter 2, her order of connection is this. In chapter 2, verse 16, my beloved is mine, and I am his. In chapter 2, her connection was this. I am first. It's all about me. It was about her benefit first. But now, love has transformed her to a different priority. And what is that? The priority is, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Can you see that? Can you see the difference between chapter 2 is, he is for me, and I am for him. And now, in this chapter 6, when love has been transformed, he said, it's not about me being first, it's about I become to the beloved, and beloved is mine. Here, he comes first, not her. He takes first place, not her. He takes the spotlight, not her. He takes the preeminent place in her thought, in her life, in her heart. Here, he increased, she decreased. How about you? Is he first in your life? Why? Because you are not your own. You belong to him. You live to please only one audience, one person, and that is Jesus. You live for him, not for yourself. Whether you live or you die, it is for who? It is for him. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 to verse 8 says, for we do not live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. And if we die, it is to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to who? To the Lord. I'm connected. But he comes first. It's not about me. Evidence of transforming love is connection to him. The second evidence of transforming love is connection to the body of Christ. Say this with me. I am connected with others in the body of Christ. The king has went into the garden. And in the garden is the flock and the lily. Who are the flocks and the lily? The body of Christ, the church. In this last day, when individualism is taking center stage in the church, you must war against this self-centered culture penetrating the church. God's internal plan is not about you. It's about what? About the church. And you are part and member of the church. Say amen. It's not all about you. It's about the church. Because he is the one that plants, he gathers, he feeds the flock and the lady. Don't overlook or undervalue connecting with one another in the body. Don't ever forget that. Yes, we can enjoy Jesus Christ by ourselves, but we also need to enjoy Jesus Christ with the body of Christ, with the flock and the lily. My life is richer when I connect myself with you. So is your life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25 say, let us think of way to motivate one another to acts of love and good work. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. The challenge to us is that we need to recognize that we need one another. We need each other. We are the family. You are not just here warming up a seat. You are a family of Grace City Church. As the Bible encourages us, in this last day that we live, it's so easy to allow individualism. It's so easy to allow self-centeredness to creep into our mind and our heart. I don't need anybody. It's about me and Jesus. No, it's not about you and Jesus. It's about us, the church, the body of Christ. May I encourage you this week, be inventive, be intentional to build and to grow your connection among the flocks and the lilies. Turn around. Turn around and look at each other. Are they not beautiful lilies? Can you see? You know, sometimes we forgot about that. Maybe one Sunday morning when I'm supposed to stand here and preach, I should say, no need to preach, just talk to each other. Don't let the prevailing culture of this world, individualism, to penetrate your life and Grace City Church. So the first evidence of transforming love is connection. The second evidence is transformation. Look at verse 4 to verse 7 and verse 10. Oh my love, you are as beautiful as Tirza, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as the army with banner. Turn your eyes away from me, for they have overcome me. Your hair is like a flock of goats coming down from Gilead. Your teeth is like a flock of sheep which have come up from the washing. Everyone bear twins, and none is barren among them. Like a piece of pomegranate, and your temple behind your veil. Verse 10. Who is he who comes forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as the army with banner? Transformation. We start with Song 1. Song 1, she was outside the garden. And when she was outside the garden, she saw herself dark because the sun of this world had been harsh on her, has taken a toll on her. Whoever loved the world will lose out and be disappointed. She was outside the garden. Song 4, the king invited her into the garden. And when the king invited her into the garden, he spoke prophetically and positionally into her. He said, you are who she was in him. And as she began to practice her position, just like you practice your position in Christ, not discussing, learning, or talking about it, but practice your position in Christ with the power of the Word and the Spirit. As she began to do that in the garden, allowing God to do something in the garden of your heart. Now you come to Song 6. Her practice from her position transformed her to be like who? To be like him. Everything that the king prophesies, everything the king said about her, she was not there, but the king said, you are going to be, because you are. It is in you. It has to be released. It has to grow. It has to transform. I'm speaking to you. My life, my strength. And as the king began to speak in chapter 6, whatever the king prophesies of her in chapter 4 is now evidence in her life. Her hair, speak of her consecration, set apart for God and for others, falling down from the hill of Gilead, which is the hill that speaks of God's healing power. That when God transforms you, when you begin to set yourself apart and say, God, I am your vessel. I'm here to be used by you. Let me tell you, your hand becomes the hand of Jesus. Your mouth become the mouth of Jesus. Then he said, look at your teeth. Strong. Nothing missing. Strong teeth. That is able to discern between right and wrong, lies and truth, good and evil. And then you talk about her cheek. We talk about the pomegranate cut into half. And it's, when you cut into half, you see the seed. There is the potential. And here the king is saying, I see the potential that is in you, and the potential has been released, and that seed, you know, where the spring also talk about the emotion, and your emotion has been transformed to godly emotion. Wonder the Bible talk about Romans chapter 12. Present yourself as a living sacrifice to God and allow God to change you by the renewing of your mind. What you think becomes your what? Your emotion. But here, he has been transformed. So important. If you want transformation, is to practice your position in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 said this word. All of us, nothing between us and God, our face shining with the brightness of his face, and so we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Our life gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enter our hearts. Not enter our mind. As God enter our hearts. And we become like who? Like him. Her transformation to the king was as beautiful as tears are. Pleasant, sweet, and delight. Lovely as Jerusalem, the city where God chose to reveal his glory, where God dwell, the city of the great king, and awesome as an army carrying a banner that say that we are victorious, we are a marching army for the king, we march forward. Don't you know, your transformation is beautiful, is lovely, and he's awesome to Jesus. Do you know that? Ask Jesus, how can you be like him in this situation that you are in? In this challenge, in this time when you are dealing with others. Say with me, transformation, say this with me, transformation is not an event. It is a process. Get onto the road of transformation. Amen? I hear, you see in verse 10, you talk about the transformation from the breaking of the dawn to the moon and the sun. So, how does this transformation take place? The breaking of the dawn. The breaking of the dawn is a new one, a new day. The new birth. The new birth. And when that takes place in you, Jesus, I believe in you. The new birth. You are a new one, a new creation. The breaking of the dawn, the beginning. But the beauty of Christ is growing and growing. And as you begin to obey Him, as you begin to work out your salvation with obedience, you cannot save yourself by cooperating with Him with practical obedience, not lip service. From the dawn, you move to the next place called the moon. The moon does not have its own light. Where does the moon get the light from? The moon gets the light from the sun. The moon reflects the sun. And this is why first is the dawn, the beginning. Now, your transformation is you are as beautiful as the moon. She reflects God's well. She reflects the beauty, the character, the glory of God in her. She shines in the world of darkness with His light. Not her own doing. It's Christ in her, the light of the world. Transformation starts with the breaking of the dawn. I'm a new creation. Then comes to the moon. Now it comes to what? The sun. Do you know the Bible say that our righteousness, our glory with God is like growing like the morning, like the day sun, afternoon sun in the fullness. The sun produced its own light. She had come to a place where she is as clear as the sun. No more just a mere reflector, but Christ's light and light are in her. Here, she lives from inside out. No longer struggling within. Where the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But now, Father, your will be done, not mine. Transformation is progressive. Think of this. One day it can be your transformation. One defined moment, one God moment, one wise choice, one wise decision can be your transformation. With transformation comes what? With transformation comes authority. As beautiful as clear as the sun, as beautiful as the moon. Now transformation comes authority. Awesome is an army with banner. When you allow God to transform you with His love, with His light, with His presence, with His truth, with His spirit, you become mighty in God against every power of darkness. You don't have to feel self-condemned because I'm transformed by Him. Now I can lift up this banner of Jesus Christ high, waving it, not having an unclear conscience. Or accusing conscience, my conscience is clear before Him. This week, continue to work out your transformation by obeying and practicing who you are in Christ. obedience transforms you and gives you authority. Obeying what? Obey in the little things. The little things lead to the big things. The little foxes that spoil the vine. Obey now and then lift the banner of Jesus Christ high. Say amen to that. So, transforming love, I'm connected. I'm transformed. What does transforming love bring you to the third place? The third place is called uniqueness. Let me read from verse 8 to verse 9. 60 queens there may be, and 80 concubines, and virgin beyond number. But my dove, my perfect one, is unique. The only one, the only daughter of her mother, the favor of the one who bore her. The young woman saw her and called her blessed. The queen and the concubine praise her. Wow. How you like it? In her journey of transforming love, she came to a place in chapter 5, and he looked at the king and said, "You know what, king? You are better than 10,000. You're better than 10,000 in chapter 5. Hey, what you are saying is, God, king, when I look at you, there is no one can compare to you. You are the best. In fact, you are my only choice. You are the only one. Nothing can compare to you. You know, I set you to be the number one because you stand far above others. You are beyond all. No one is like you." Is it not wonderful to come to that place? In your love for God, no one? Say it with me, no one. Come on, say it with me, no one. Because unless you are convinced in your heart, no one, you will always struggle within. Here in chapter 5, no one except you. And in chapter 6, the king gives her the same compliment. The king look at her and give her the same compliment. And the compliment to her is this. My dove, my perfect one, is unique, the only one. Wow! When the king compare her with the 60 queen and 80 concubines and young woman beyond number, Solomon has 700 wives and 300 concubines. He has too much, far, far too much. Yet he said, when I compare all of this, not forgetting the mother-in-laws, and he said, when I compare all this, he said, I'm going to tell you one thing. You are the only one. You are unique. Now, here she is. When she is compared with all this, and Solomon said, you are unique, you are the only one. Now, what happened? This is what happened. You come to a place, you become what? Secure. You become secure. And when you are secure, you don't have to what? Complain. You don't have to complain. I don't like what I see in the mirror. Get used to it. That's you. You don't have to complain. When you are secure, you don't have to compare. You don't have to compete. Is this not our problem? Most time when we look ourselves, we complain, we compete, and we compare. But here is a woman, when Solomon is able to say, the king is able to say, when Christ is able to say to you, look, I die for the whole world. But I save one person at a time, and I save you. And I know your name. I know how many hairs you have. You are unique. Wow. What a great security. She is accepted, affirmed, and approved, and loved above all. I compare you with all. You are unique and the only one. I wonder what my wife would say when I tell her, you are unique and my best wife. I tell you, hell will break loose. She will say to me, how many do you have? Yet the king compliment her for her uniqueness. And because the king compliment her, he secure her, he must have captivate and inspire her heart with love. The creator of heaven and earth, the one who knows every star in the galaxy, knows you by name. He calls you by your name and say you are special, you are unique to him, you are created in his image, you are his workmanship, you are his masterpiece, you are a wonderful make, you have unique gift. Say amen. So stop complaining. If you don't complain to God, don't complain to your spouse. Amen. You know, stop complaining, stop comparing, stop competing with others. Accept who you are. Be who you are in Christ. Believe this or not, your physical appearance, your voice, your personality trait, your behavior, intelligence, personal taste, all this make you one of a kind. There is no one like you. Come on. Stop trying to be some other people. I cannot understand some of these people. You know, I read in the news how they try to change and alter their face so they can look like somebody. What a disaster. Love who you are. All of this, even your fingerprint is different from other human beings in the past, in the present, and the future. You are not the product of some cosmic assembly line. I know sometimes, a certain month, when babies are born, you look and see it's all boys. Realize that? How many of you realize that? All of a sudden, yeah, come on, this product, a boy development is like that, boy production. And then certain time, it's like girl production. Even though you may think, but you are not from the production line, say amen. And definitely my mother was not a production line, even though she has 10. You're not from a production line, but you are uniquely made by God. I want you to say this with me. Come on. Why don't you stand up and say this with me? Come on. This should be your confession. Next PowerPoint. Read this with me. Say it together. Say it and believe it. Come on. Say it together. Lord, I thank you because you have made me unique. I accept my uniqueness. I am accepted, approved, affirmed, and loved by you. I am secure in you. I accept who I am. You are the one, only one I love. Use me and let me change the world's need. Let me be the salt that will sweeten the world, and let me be the light that will shine in this world. Help me to show forth your power to the world. I arise by your power and be your vessel of goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. You want this prayer, ask me, you know, what would your life be if every morning you wake up and you said, you know, if you read books on the power of positive thinking, they say that every morning you should take this confession and stand at a mirror and read and say to yourself, build your emotion. Build your EQ up. Build your muscle up. So that when you are built up, you can go out and face the world. I'm telling you, Christian, brother and sister, every morning we should read this and build ourselves up. How about that? Read the Word of God. Confess the Word of God in the mirror. Look at yourself and build yourself up before you go to the world. So, transformation. And the third thing, the last thing about the evidence on transformation, the last one is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Look at verse 11 to verse 13. I went down in the gardens. I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley,
to see whether the wise foolish and the propaganda part. Before I was ever aware, my soul was make me return like the chariot of Amadadi. Return, return, O Sulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon you. What will you see in the Shunammite, as it is with the dance of the two army? Wrestler with this. What are you trying to say? Well, I went down to the garden of nuts. And I look, hey, she is speaking my language. Because I love nuts. Actually, I love peanuts. In fact, someone gave me a pack of peanuts just last week. And my wife said to me, you are not going to eat all these peanuts. We're going to bring it to church on Saturday when we had the Nasi Lemak. We will give the peanuts away to everyone. Now, how many of you realize, when it comes to food, never argue with your wife. That's what Adam did. He never argued, he just eat, just obey. So I love peanuts. So when I read this, you went into the garden of peanuts. Hey, this is quite interesting. And there is a dear brother in this church. I will not mention him by name. He make a joke of me, and people believe that about me eating nuts. And my wife hear this joke. She didn't know it was a joke. My wife thought it was real. And she came back and she scolded me. I said, it's not true. It's a story. An incident. About me going to the hospital to visit someone. And he was asleep. And now in some hospital, you have two beds. And then you have a small table. And he was asleep. And there I was, eating the nuts. Then when he woke up, he saw me eating the nuts. And he said to me, these are not my nuts. This nut belongs to my neighbor. That was only half the story. And then he said to me, the reason why this nut is a nut, because firstly, it was chocolate cover the nut. And because that man has got gum problem. He sucked the chocolate and leave the nut. I tell you, when my wife here that came back, she really gave me a hard time. And I thought it's not true. I didn't eat the nut. Okay. So I went to the garden of nuts. And I asked, what is this? Nuts. Are you all ready? Nut. I will go nuts. Now, nuts speaks of a new level in the Word of God. Now, we know God's Word is called the milk. What do you do with milk? Milk, you what? You drink. God's Word is also called meat. What do you do with meat? You cut and eat. That's why the Bible talks about able to divide. You cut and eat. So what is nut? Nuts comes on the what? A shell. So, if you want to come to the next level of God's Word, the nuts, the truth that is in the shell, you must break what? You must break the shell. And to break the shell is hard work and is time consuming. What it means is this. There is a stage in your life, in God's transforming love. You don't want to just hear, just learn, and just have more information. It's not what you want. It's not good enough. So what do you want? You want practical application. You want to be able to apply God's truth in you, apply obedience to you, even when it is difficult and challenging. You say, God, I will obey. Hard, but I will obey. Are you breaking the nuts off the word? Her purpose to visit the garden is for fruitfulness. Are there fruits in the valley? Are the vine flourishing? Is it bearing fruits, more fruits and much fruit? Are the pomegranates, are the potential and the emotion in you budding? Yes. The seed has great potential. Just a seed of an apple grows hundreds of apples. And your emotion is bubbling well. It produces healthy soul, healthy relation, and healthy life. She went to the garden to see whether there is. Do you regularly check the garden of your heart to see whether it is fruitful or not, productive or not? How is it doing? Jesus is interested in your fruitfulness. Are you? He said in John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me. I choose you. I appoint you to go and produce lasting fruits. Not just fruits, but fruits that last, remain, and dwell, continue, and stand. Yes, fruit bearing is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. You need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And this is the thing about transformation. As you continue to practically obey, yes, Lord, I'm listening to you, I'm doing. There's something that as you begin to do that, transformation takes what? Take place. You don't have to go and check, dig. You know, like you plant a seed and dig. Hey, is it growing? Is it growing? No. It just, and this is what happened. This continuously, as she obeyed the king, you know, as she obeyed the king, and then she realized, before I was ever aware, it came. Oh, have you ever got shocked? Gee, I never know I could do such a thing. Have you ever got shocked? Gee, I never know I could be so lovely. I want to whack the fella, I want to punch the fella. I never know I can be so Christ-like. Have you ever been caught by it? That's what happened to you. And this is what, as she was in the process, you say, gee, all of a sudden I realized, hey, I have what it took. I'm becoming more like the king. I'm becoming more like Christ. She found herself fulfilling the king will. Before I was ever aware, my soul was make me return like the chariot of Amenadi. The word Amenadi means my people of a willing heart. As she obeyed the king with the willing heart, transformation took place in her. Like her, obey Jesus with a willing heart and you will see your life being transformed. Transformed like what? He said that transformed like a what? Like a chariot. What it means? That transformation will be fast and swift. Why is it some people grow so fast, change so fast, some people don't? Some you see, oh, when are they going to learn? It'll happen again and again and again. But some people, pop, you see, they change. The difference is this. One, obey. The other one, just listen. Yep, very good. So, her transformation was swift and fast. And if you look in the whole book of Song of Solomon from chapter 1 to chapter 8, There's only one time where the Shulamite is mentioned, is in this chapter. This is the first time in the whole song that the term Shulamite is used. And the word Shulamite means peaceful one. Peaceful one. Solomon, his name means peaceful. So here you have, love has transformed her to be like Solomon. She has become the peaceful one, just as Solomon is peaceful. Love must transform you. His love for you must transform you. Your love for him must transform you.
Others could see her like the king and say, "Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon you. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were the dance of the two armies."
The dance of the two armies is taken from Genesis chapter 32, verse 2. The two armies is referred to as Hala Ha'in. This is when Jacob was returning back to meet Esau. And for the fear of his life, he prepared two camps, two armies to meet Esau. And it was when he prepared that two camps to meet Esau that in the night he wrestled with the angel. And when he wrestled with the angel and met the angel, and his life was changed, his name was changed, his position was changed, his destiny was changed. In that place, he called it Hala Hamanahain, means God's camp. Yes, when you stay in God's camp, you are protected and provided. Psalm 91 tells us that. You are victorious and an overcomer. When you stay in God's camp, in the camp of God, in where God placed you, where you are in God, when you are in that place, you are incredible, you are invisible, and you are so strong that you can rejoice, you can sing, you can praise, you can shout, and you can dance against all odds, against all difficulties, against all mountains, even against the enemy of your soul. Transforming love. Love has transforming power. I was driving one day, 98.5 Sunshine FM. They were interviewing a lady. She's a mother. She's a drug addict, hopeless drug addict. Family Services was coming to take away her only child, a baby. And in the interview, she said this, because she could not afford to lose her baby, because she loved the baby so much as a mother, she forced herself, went through rehabilitation, cold turkey, went through all of this so that she can beat her drug and keep the baby. Here's a mother, because of the love for a child, for the baby, she was willing to be what? To be changed for her. Love has transforming power. If you look at your life and your life is not transformed, ask yourself, do I know who I love? Have I loved him the way he has called me to love him? My only purpose to preach Song of Solomon after 25 years, my only purpose is not to give you information. It's to tell you that Song of Solomon has helped me to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Am I perfect? No. Do I still struggle? Yes. Do I still have difficulty? Yes. But I can say, you are the only one I love. This is my only purpose, to preach Song of Solomon over here. Because I believe that we can come to a place where we can become very apathy in our love. We can become very comfortable in our love. We can come to a place where we backslide in our love and we still say, it is well with my soul. You can get angry with me if you want, but it's better for me to tell you as a pastor. It's the love of Christ transforming you to be like him. It's your love for Christ transforming you. Why don't we pray? Jesus. Transforming love. If you are to measure yourself this morning between 1 to 10, has God's love transformed you to be like him? Has God's love altered your priority, your value? Has God's love caused you to plan to live for eternity? Not just what I can get on earth now. Jesus. 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 Jesus.